Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This week's episode of Do Go On is brought to you by the fact that we are coming to Sydney.
Oh, cool.
This Saturday night, the 21st of September, we are going to be at the Giant Dwarf Theatre in Redfern from 7:30 p.m. If you haven't already got your tickets, what are you bloody doing?
The Giant Dwarf.
Head over to dogoonpod.com. You can find all the tickets there. We hope to see you. And also, stay tuned because we have some very exciting tour news.
What? I can't wait to hear this.
That's coming up right after this theme music.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicki. I'm sitting here with the greats, the wonderfuls, the one and onlys, Jess Perkins's and Matt Stewart's.
Shotgun the wonderful.
Shotgun the other one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. The greats. One and only, the greats.
You can be the greats. I'm the wonderfuls and you're the one and only.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hello, everybody. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Jess.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, everybody. thank you so much for joining us. If this is the first time listening to the show, we're about to announce some exciting news.
Oh, what is it?
Let me just... Some tour news, I believe, was what Jess said at the start of the episode.
What?
Let me reveal it. Over the last couple of months, I have been secretly organising a tour of Ireland.
Woo!
And whilst we're there, the UK.
Whoa, cool.
I don't know if you can call it a tour of Ireland.
Where are we going? Are we going to Cork?
No, do not.
Going to Killarney?
Let's not.
We're going to Belfast?
Killarney, that's where my family's from. Can we go to Killarney?
Well, maybe us three can, because we'll be going a couple of days early to acclimatise to the time difference.
Yes.
But I'm here to announce that we are heading back to the UK and also, for the first ever time, a show in Dublin for... A bit of a Christmas tour. The first couple of weeks of December, we will be there.
I think you mean Christmas.
Sorry, a Christmas tour.
Yes.
Yeah, good. I love. Oh, we're going to have a winter Christmas.
A proper Christmas again. We were all there this time last year. Well, a little bit earlier. And we're all thinking, this is. Even though we haven't been here for Christmas before, this feels like what Christmas should feel like.
Yes,
we
it
went,
is.
Was it Birmingham we had that? There was a Christmas, like a German Christmas fair.
Yes.
That was so cool.
The Christmas market. Yeah.
Oh, will that love be on that. Again?
Of course. And probably even more full swing because it's even closer to Christmas.
Yes. I'm going to get another pretzel.
Going to Birmingham?
Well.
sorry, we jumped ahead.
If you're wondering where we are heading, we are going to Dublin.
Yes.
Brand new place.
Oh, we got to watch your Irish tap dancing.
I've just looked it up. It actually is finishing up this week.
Oh. Does it? I would have assumed it would be...
No, it's not on all the time.
That is December the 1st, the
first
show.
It's not fucking Billy Elliot. It's always fucking on.
What is it, cats?
A 2, 3, 4. Meow, meow, meow.
Oh, the one thing worse than Riverdance, cats. I'm sorry. So if you love musicals, I'm so happy for you. Okay. So the shows, we Dublin, December the 1st at the Sugar Club.
Oh, we'll be there. A little bit of sugar.
Fantastic. Then we're heading over to Glasgow.
Yes.
Oh, we didn't get there last time.
No, we
didn't. Oh, we had a little day trip, which was fun.
Edinburgh last time. Glasgow, December the 2nd at the Glee Club. Then the next night, we're busy first half of the tour. We're heading to Leeds. We're back at the Wardrobe. Fantastic
venue.
Oh,
that place was great fun.
December the 3rd.
Yes.
Then we've got a night off. Then we're heading to Bristol, back at the Hen and Chicken, another cool venue, December the 5th.
We promise we will not do one about murderers this time.
Yeah, it'll be a fun topic
okay,
this time.
Okay, now I remember that venue. I was just thinking, I don't think I remember that one.
Let's do a real fun, happy one.
Yeah. Then we are back in London town, December the 8th at 2:29, the venue where last time we had a great time. It was our final show of the tour.
Oh, that
time.
Was awesome.
That was huge. That was amazing.
Had a piano backstage, baby.
That's what I love.
And then finally, our final show is back in Birmingham near the Christmas market, December the 9th at the Birmingham Glee Club.
Oh, sweet as.
Good way to finish the tour. And now, so tickets are going on sale to our Patreon supporters this Friday at 11 a.m. local UK and Ireland time. So basically, anyone who supports us on Patreon will put the links up first, a little code for the pre-sale. So if you want to get in and make sure you get a ticket, because last year we announced the tour and then surprisingly the whole thing sold out in 4 hours. It was a bit of a surprise for everyone. A few people missed
mostly
out.
Mostly us.
Sorry about that. Yeah, mostly
we
us.
Were pretty shocked.
So if you want to get, I'm sure that won't happen again. Some of the venues are a bit bigger, but just in case, if you want to get guarantee a ticket. Support us on Patreon. You also get bonus episodes and you can be our Facebook group, vote for topics, all that kind of stuff. And then, but if you are not a Patreon supporter, general tickets will go on sale on Monday at 11 a.m. local UK time. That is Monday, September the 23rd.
Oh. Cool.
Exciting times.
So exciting.
That's
I can't
great.
Wait.
Hey, oh, and I should say I'm still working on the North American tour. It has proved so difficult. We need a promoter to sponsor us, and we have not been able to secure that.
Yeah.
And I've been talking to the Patreons. The idea at the moment, and this seems like it's going to go ahead, but I can't announce dates yet. But hopefully, this will happen soon. We're going to do a Canadian tour, which obviously isn't perfect for our American listeners. Hopefully, exciting for our Canadian listeners.
That's right, and they are much more welcoming with visas for performing.
Yes,
performers.
That's right.
That's why we're doing it, basically.
That's right, and yeah, hopefully, some American or US people will be able to come up, and others. We're going to keep working on it, and hopefully, this will open doors. We can show people. Oh, we had a successful Canadian tour, and that'll help us get a promoter on board for not too far down the track. So pumped! I've never been to Canada.
No, me either.
So
I'm excited.
Hopefully, can announce dates and stuff for that in the coming. I don't know. Hopefully, in the next month, I think, maybe even in Block. Quick question: what are you doing for Block?
I was going to go away for the month. Is that not a good idea?
No, you've got to be here.
Oh, right.
This Blocktober Buster Month, a.k.a. Blocktober Grace Land Festival.
Doing a great job of explaining it to people that don't know what it is.
It's the biggest month on the Do Go On calendar. We did the first one last year. All of October we do the biggest topics. And there's going to be a vote going up this week, which will help us decide all the topics for the whole month, including one which is going to be with a very special guest.
Ooh.
Do I need to? Have you looked at this? Have you looked at the fact that there are 5 Wednesdays in that October?
Yeah, oh yeah, big time.
good. I was going to say, whoops. I think you haven't.
Oh, God.
I feel like there were last year as well,
yeah,
maybe.
I think so too.
But that's, yeah, so.
Am I the special? Are you still calling me a guest?
Yes. Very special guest.
201 appearances so far. Guest appearances.
So, I imagine. If you've come on board lately, you might be like, what the hell are you talking about? But if you go back to last October's episodes, they were huge topics.
Yeah.
And everyone, like the word on the street, I was walking down, you know, Brunswick, Sydney Road.
Yep.
And I'd hear people chitter-chattering sensibly. What are you up to for Block this year?
Mm-hmm.
Are you blocking?
You going away for Block?
Yeah,
or
what are you doing for Block?
You got time off for Block?
Do you want to come around to mine for Block?
Come over for Block.
Yeah.
And bring a Block.
There's a real Block buzz.
Bring a Block.
Bring a Block.
Have chocolate.
Thank you.
And a block of beers.
Yeah, block of beers, block of chocolate, block of cheese. Yeah.
Block of Lego.
Yes.
Entertainment.
Now I want some cheese.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Mm.
In summary, any shows we ever do, you can go to dogoonpod.com to get tickets for that, including the Ireland, UK tour, Dublin, Glasgow, Leeds, Bristol, London, Birmingham. We cannot wait to be there.
So excited.
I'm so excited to show you around Dublin.
Oh, yes.
I'm excited for that. Even though we've got a Patreon and lovely, lovely man who we met last time we went to the UK, Tiernan, who is a tour guide.
Mm, that's right.
Based in Dublin. He was like, hey, if you want any day tours or anything, let me know. And I'm like, no need, Tiernan. I got this.
You know, I spent a week there in 2006, so I think I'll probably tell you a thing or two.
How many pubs did you go to? Were you just on Temple Bar the whole time?
Mm.
Yeah, I also went to Croke Park to watch Australia play Ireland in the international rules.
Oh, fuck, that would have been awesome in Ireland.
Will that be happening in December? That would be real cool.
I love the international rules.
It normally happens around October, and I don't know if it even happens anymore. No. That year actually made put a real damper on it because the Australians went in very violently.
Oh.
And it was kind of weird. The Australians are professional sports people, and the Irish competition is amateurs. So it's like...
It's already a bloodbath.
It was kind of weird. It's
supposed to be just a friendly game.
But, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Anyway, so, Dave, I can't wait to show you around.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to it.
I have very little memories of it, so I will need a
You also rarely leave your room until the afternoon. So Dave and I will probably go and do some sightseeing.
Oh, a lovely wander. We will.
Dave and I will have a lovely wander. Go have some scones
the
proper
wander.
Way. We'll get out of your, come out of your room then.
I will.
Wake up.
I'll wake up right now.
Put some bloody clothes on.
Oh, well, one thing at a time. You want me to wake or do you want me clothes?
Matt teases me for having the red zone, which is before coffee. But
I tease you for that. You tease yourself.
I brought it up and then you used it a lot. But let's look at Matt before breakfast, shall we?
Oh, my goodness.
Mine's more the dead zone.
Yeah. He's a little zombie.
Yeah, yours is the red zone. You're walking around with your pubes all everywhere.
And Dave, from 6 a.m., like any time of the day or night, Dave's always like, hey, how's it going? Woo! Like there's no, Dave doesn't have levels.
I never change.
He's always thinking about the next thing, always moving around. Head's sort of, his neck is just swiveling.
You can't see, he's never seen.
Swiveling neck.
It's a ferret.
Anyway, that's what we have to look forward to behind the scenes.
Do ferrets have swiveling nets?
They do now.
Yeah, damn right.
Thinking meerkats.
Dave, explain what this show is.
Oh, great.
This show is a lot of fun for the whole family.
No.
Turn off mum. And basically, we take it in turns here to report on a topic often suggested by a listener, and the two people that aren't reporting have no idea what's going to be talked about. And today, Jess, you are the one in charge of the report.
That's right.
So Matt and I don't know what you're about to say, and to get us on the topic, you ask a beautiful question.
Yes.
Which you... I didn't want to say never, but often forget to write.
I wrote one.
Fantastic.
And would I be right in saying that this was as voted on by the Patreons?
That is correct.
Ooh.
So I put a few different topics up to them. This one, so there was three topics. This one won with a margin of 50%.
Wow. So this is that's a landslide.
Yeah.
Yeah, because often it is very close in the hat there.
And so my question is, which US sporting event is held every year on Patriots Day?
Oh, I'm going to say Super Bowl.
No.
NHL hockey playoff?
No.
Yeah, the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That is in the hat. I've seen that.
Big,
there.
Ugly cup. No offense.
Is it a mainstream one?
It's pretty mainstream. Think more of like it's not really a team sport.
America's Cup?
Golf. No. Ryder Cup.
No.
That's a team sport.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the one golf team sport. Sorry about that.
Is it international or?
No.
Okay. So it's an individual.
Thing?
Oh, US Open? No, that's. No.
What's the date of Patriots Day? What month are we looking at?
It happens on the third Monday of April.
Okay, April. What is that? That Burn means it's year. Spring? Wow, it's a spring sport.
Something you might go out and do.
The Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well done.
I got that from your shoulders moving like someone slowly running.
Yeah, exactly. You've seen me run. This is how I do it. It's all on the shoulders.
Yeah, you do not move your legs and it's very hard to watch.
I'm very slow.
Yeah. Is this about the event or about the bombing?
It's not about the bombing.
Okay.
It is about one particular event or one particular thing that happened in the long history of the Boston Marathon.
Right.
And to start things off, I am going to talk just a little bit more generally about the marathon, highlight a couple of things that have happened, and then I'm going to get stuck into the juicy story that I have.
Right. So I have no idea what this story is going to be. Do you, Matt?
No, but I can't wait till Jess squeezes the juice.
We're all feeling a little bit more relaxed now. It's not about the bombing.
Yeah,
that's hard to make fun, you know?
But we did that last week about an explosion. So
but that was 102 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, that's a bit different.
And an accident.
Okay.
This has only been suggested by one person in Jack the Hat McVitie. It was suggested by Brianna Napoli, who I think is from Brisbane, from memory.
We've definitely said her name before.
Brianna Napoli.
Thank you, Brianna Napoli. Bri. And anyone can suggest a topic, we should say this, by going to dogoonpod.com. And we love it when people do that.
Yeah. Brianna, you are one of my favorite pasta sources.
Napoli, so simple.
Yeah.
So effective.
Yeah.
A little bit of backstory about the Boston Marathon, for starters. This is mostly because the story I'm going to tell is relatively short.
Okay.
So I'm going to fill a little bit
some
context. No, but there's other interesting stuff. So the Boston Marathon, it's the world's oldest annual marathon.
Huh.
Began in 1897.
Wow, that's the year the AFL began, or the VFL.
That's the prism that you look through life.
Yeah.
Before you did the report, which is your first ever report on this show, how did you look at the world? Did you have any context or anything? Or did that report change your life?
No, I already knew that because there was the centenary season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in 1996, which I think was wrong. They had it in 96, but they mucked it up.
That's not quite right.
I think it's like the 100th season, but it wasn't 100 years.
Right.
Anyway.
Well.
Sorry, that's an early sidetrack.
So the Boston Marathon ranks as one of the world's best known road racing events. It's massive. And as I said, it's always held on Patriots Day, which is the third Monday of April. Amateurs and professional runners from all over the world compete in the Boston Marathon each year, braving the hilly Massachusetts terrain and varying weather to take part in the race.
Massachusetts.
Yeah. Because you said it's springtime, isn't it?
Yeah.
So summer, it's our autumn, so it's their spring.
Yeah.
So it can be really nice or it can be like a bit chilly still. So it varies year to year. That's what keeps it interesting. I want to give a little bit of backstory in the marathon history to give us some context and to touch on a few stories that could definitely make for mini episodes, but that are really worth mentioning because they're pretty impressive. So in its long history, the Boston Marathon has had many notable stories emerge from the race. There was Bobby Gibbs, the first woman to finish the race in 1966.
Saints won the premiership that year.
You don't say. Before this, the longest amateur athletic union sanctioned race for women was 1.5 miles.
No, 1.5 miles.
Women were allowed to run 1.5 miles.
But if they ran any more, would they die?
Yes. Look at their tiny, frail bodies.
We don't want to risk it. I mean, we tried to practice on mice and they can't run more than 1.5 miles. So.
And women are mice.
Yeah, basically.
So.
They have a similar physique.
What? What is the marathon in miles? I know it's 42.195 kilometres.
26 point something.
Right. So that's a big jump.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge jump. And prior to the race, Bobby received a letter from the race director, a guy called Will Cloney, informing her that women were not physiologically capable of running marathon distances. Mm. So that motivated her even more.
So what year is this?
66.
1566.
It's not long enough ago.
What the hell?
Yeah. Right.
They checked the size of women's craniums and they proved to be insufficiently sized.
What is
for running.
Cranium, sir?
Did he write the letter in really large font?
Yeah. And then a little note saying, get your husband to read this to you.
Telling us that she basically would die if she tried.
Honey, I know you'd like to give it a go, but it's biology. You're too little. You're too little to do it.
I don't make the rules. I'm not God.
Hey, have a go at 1.5 miles.
1.5 miles.
Okay. You'll be very tired.
Even I can run 1.5 miles.
And you're useless.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be surprised if he sent me a letter saying that I...
You are not physiologically capable.
You did it in Thailand, didn't you?
I nearly died. How far was that? 5K.
That was 5K.
On a beach,
so humid.
In 30-degree weather, with inhumidity, and I've never run any distance in my life. Felt like I was going to vomit at the end. Luckily, collapsed into the ocean.
Yeah.
That really saved the day. Otherwise, big vom was coming.
Yeah, I felt sick as well. That was wild.
I had a really nice walk on the beach.
That was smart.
Nice. Yeah, and I still won.
Because it was a beautiful. Yeah, you were first female podcaster across the line. Is
number
that
one.
Right? And who came second in that category?
No one. There was no one else.
Oh, everyone else
Daylight,
failed.
Daylight, Dave.
Yep.
Daylight second.
Other female podcasters went physiologically able.
Yeah, but I proved them wrong. So yeah, her being told that she was too small and incapable motivated her to do it. And she'd been training for the previous 2 years and could run distances of up to 40 miles, which is way more than a marathon. So she was like, I reckon I probably can, actually, physiologically, that is. So she made the journey to Boston for the race. And what she did...
she ran there. She ran from California.
She hid in the bushes close to the start line.
What?
And she joined the race as the men started to pass her. She was wearing her brother's shorts and like a baggy sweatshirt and just had like a tank top underneath.
She also changed her name to Bobby.
Also, I don't want to be rude here, but at what point did she start the race?
Oh.
She joined the men once they'd started.
Pretty close to the start.
So imagine she ran the whole thing except the first 100 metres and the boss is like, the guy that runs it.
Told you.
Couldn't do it.
Told you.
Couldn't do it.
Told
couldn't
you.
It.
Stick to 1.5.
But she's dressed like basically trying to look like a man.
She's trying to blend in. Yeah, wow. Yeah. I think she had like a baseball cap on as well. She was trying to be like inconspicuous.
Her shirt says, I love being a man.
She was also trying to get away from a sniper.
Yeah.
In an action film.
Yeah, putting on a hat. Oh, completely different.
Yeah. Jason Bourne puts a hat on. Where'd he go?
There was Patriots Day was the name of a film, wasn't it? Maybe a Harrison Ford film?
No. Mel Gibson.
Oh, Mel Gibson.
Heath Ledger.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of Patriot Games.
Patriot Games, that's right.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, Patriot Day is an old-timey film with Heath
Ledger. Is it just called The Patriots?
The Patriot.
Oh.
The Patriots Game.
No, it's called The Patriot. Isn't it?
That's Heath Ledger.
So maybe there is no Patriot Day film. No, Patriot Day, is that maybe a football film?
No, maybe that's the one about the Boston Marathon.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think that might be the case. You look it up. I'll keep going with the report.
Geez, they've got a few movies about being patriot.
Because they made a film.
It's almost like they built their whole country's ideology around being patriot.
And not letting in Australians.
Let us perform there.
Yeah, they made a film about the Boston Marathon. I remember being like, oh, that's soon. You know, it was like only within a couple of years, I want to say. I could be wrong.
Right.
Anyway, so... Bobby Gibbs. So she's joined the race. She's running along. She's trying to be inconspicuous. And the men in the race start to notice that she's a woman. And very surprisingly for the time, were incredibly supportive. Apparently they were like really friendly. They were like, yeah, good for you. Let's go.
But, okay, why were you expecting them? Boo.
It's going to be like, you can't be here, toots. I don't know.
Yeah, well, no, that's great. So the people are like, yeah, good on you.
They're like, cool. And then Matt?
Patriots Day is a 2016 film with Marky Mark about the Boston Marathon bombings.
So it's 3 years later after. It feels too soon, but yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
Sort of, I think it's celebrating the heroes and stuff.
Yeah, which is amazing. Anyway, so then the crowd start to notice that Bobby is a woman and they're going fucking mental. The crowd are going wild. They're so excited that a woman is racing. Apparently she ended up like, because it was hot, she like took off her sweatshirt. And was like running along and people are just going nuts. She finished in 3 hours, 21 minutes and 40 seconds ahead of 2/3 of the runners.
Awesome.
So she smashed it.
Had a 100 metre head start.
That's true.
That's the hardest bit.
up. Some of the news reporting for the time is pretty gross, though. It refers to her as a tidy-looking and pretty 23-year-old blonde.
Elite athlete. Because it's the 60s is like it's a big change in the world, right?
Yeah.
So it's funny that the old school journalists are still talking like that, but then people on the street are going, "Yes, we've been waiting for this."
Yeah. Another headline said, and I don't know what this means, but it said, "Hub bride, first gal to run marathon."
Oh.
Was they speaking a different language back then?
Anyway.
Just sounds like the kid on the street corner. Hub bride!
Yeah. Hub bride! Step right up!
So did the director ever address this and apologise?
Nah. Anyway, she ran the... I don't think so, no.
Typically.
Well, she ran the following year as well, but she was unnumbered, so she was like unregistered. She was just running it because women still weren't allowed to technically run, even though she'd proven they can definitely do it. But the following year was famous for another reason as well. A runner called Catherine Switzer was told by her running coach that a marathon was too far to run for a fragile woman. Which begs the question, why was he coaching her?
Oh, he was her coach.
Well,
he's her running coach.
I'll do my best with what I've got, but if you don't fall apart, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, bloody fool.
I'm willing to risk your life. Have a crack.
Yeah, go on. Try and run 2 miles. Yeah. See if you can make it past the bloody 1.5. Dad it.
Dead woman walking.
He just goes and like reads the paper while she runs. So Kathy, she registered for the Boston Marathon under the gender-neutral KV Switzer, just her initials. Her finishing time of approximately 4 hours and 20 minutes was nearly an hour behind Bobby Gibb, who was running again. But the reason that Kathy was so notable was that during the race official Jock Semple tried to rip off her number and stop her from running, tried to get her off the course. Jock Semple. And he's like in a blazer and stuff and like a bald old man trying to like push
Let's
her off the
bring
course.
Age into this.
No, it just Jess. Looks funny that he's sort of like.
Oh, there's footage of it.
He's running. There's photos of it. Really famous photos where he's sort of run out into the course trying to stop an elite athlete for running.
Maybe some of the most confusing people to me in the world are those people who have a small amount of power and just can't see past it logically.
Yeah.
No, you're not allowed to be doing that. Stop it.
Apparently he was yelling, get the hell out of my race and give me those numbers. He was trying to stop her.
So weird.
But unluckily for Jock, Kathy had been running alongside her boyfriend, Tom Miller, who was an ex-All-American football player and nationally ranked hammer thrower, i.e. a big fucking unit. So he shoved Semple aside, sent him flying into the pavement.
Like a hammer.
Clearing a path for Kathy to keep running. So he just pushed him out of
Piss
the way.
Piss off, idiot.
Yeah, exactly. And there's photos. I don't know if there's actual filmed footage. There's definitely famous photos. There's like a triptych where he's sort of like running behind her, trying to grab her. And then you just see Tom just push him. And then in the third photo, he's on the ground and she just keeps running. So it was a similar kind of thing. Like she just started running. She had pretty short hair at the time. So she sort of blended in with this crowd. And then eventually people were like, oh, hang on, that's a woman. What's going on here?
It's a different time.
What do you think Jock is worried about if she completes it?
Well, I think it's just, yeah, I don't know. People get rules stuck in their head and they can't get past them.
It's such a dumb rule.
I remember one time, this is a very, very equally a civil rights issue. I used to get a discount card when I worked at a supermarket. And my family got it, so my dad had one. He forgot it one day and we were going through the checkout at the place I work and had for quite a few years. And the woman on the register is like, sorry, can't give you a discount. I'm like, oh, but you know who we are. I can tell you the number. Just type it that you have to type in. Sorry, I have to see the card. But I'm wearing the uniform.
And did you know
her? Yeah, it's like that weird kind of
That's
level
so
of power.
Dumb.
It's me, Matt.
Yeah.
We just did a shift together.
Yeah.
I'll stand behind you.
I just went and grabbed a chocolate milk and now I'm back here.
Yeah.
Can you give me a discount?
Weird, but yeah, I think there's some people have it built into them that you just can't break any rules.
Did you have to give up or did you bring
yeah,
over?
Yeah, just had to give up on
it's
it.
Like, I want to see your manager, which is also my manager.
But yeah, it's just one of those things you just sort of, you go, well, I'm not going to make a huge deal out of it. It's just a bit weird. And I think it's a classic Australian trait is to stick by the rules no matter what and call people out who are stepping out of line. Even if it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's very strange.
I reckon this old fella had a bit of that about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I reckon. Bit of a power trip.
Get out of my race. Shove. Love that.
Shove. He just pushes him. It's beautiful. And after the race, that director who wrote Kathy Gibb the letter the year before, Will Cloney.
Love that name too, Kathy Gibbs.
Yeah, it's good. He was asked his opinion of Switzer competing in the race. I said, don't know Kathy Gibbs? Bobby Gibbs. This is Kathy Switzer. Anyway, he was asked his opinion of her running, and he said, women can't run in the marathon because the rules forbid it. Unless we have rules, society will be in chaos. I don't make the rules, but I try to carry them out. We have no space in the marathon for any unauthorized person, even a man. If that girl were my daughter, I'd spank her.
Okay.
So what
he was trying to be like cold and logical for a while.
And then he
finishes with a spanking.
Very weird.
Basically, he said, like, if that man was a woman, he couldn't run.
Yeah.
So.
And that, yeah, but that
I'm
was.
Just saying, even if that man broke the rules, all right.
Exactly. If he stopped there, Like, no space for an authorised person, even a man.
But wasn't one of them had a number?
Yeah, she did. She'd 100% registered and was wearing a number.
Yeah, so that doesn't add up either.
Nope, it does not at all. But then he added that he would spank her, and then it got mega weird.
And the journalist is just like, okay, you want me to print that?
And that's on the record. You're insisting that's on the record.
At the time, the journalist was like, this is great stuff. I'm going to make this the headline.
Spanky, spanky.
Yeah. What was that headline?
Clooney insists on spanky.
Hub bride.
First gal to run marathon. Yuck.
No time, finish sentence.
Stop. But even despite these impressive women proving that women were definitely capable of running a lot further than 1.5 miles, it was still another 5 years until women were actually allowed to register and participate.
That feels about right. That you don't want to rush into these things.
No. I mean, they're two anomalies.
Yes.
Most women, they've changed the rules now, most women can't run more than 1.5 miles.
Yeah.
Apparently now it's like 46% of entrants are women. Like, it's pretty balanced now.
It's just strange to think that this is what the mid-60s and the Olympics has been going for with women for like 60 years at that point.
Thinking that as well. Yeah. The first modern Olympics was it in
1896.
So I wonder if that can't be coincidence, right? A big marathon is held in 1896 and then Boston Marathon starts the next year.
Next year, yeah.
Feels like there's going to be some
connection. When were women?
I think the next Olympics, 1900, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's still 66 years later.
Yeah, they're like, well, I mean, you can compete at the Olympics and win a gold medal for your country, but you can't.
Well, there wouldn't have been a marathon, I'm guessing.
Probably not for women at the time. But also, very strange.
It is, because America feels like it's all about equality and everyone, like it's all fair go stuff there, so.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't even necessarily a conscious thing. It was just, well, they can't. Their bodies are so much smaller. I mean, you can't expect a kid to do it. Women are kids.
Yeah, but it's funny, like, you go, well, then why don't you do it based on size?
Yeah. Well, okay, let us do longer than 1.5.
What about a tall woman?
Yeah.
Believe it if I see it.
You mean a freak. It's fucked. It's so wild. It was the 70s before women were allowed to be in it. It's insane. So the marathon obviously has a lot of history, some really great, like these two amazing women. Also in 2016, Jamie Marseilles, an American, became the first female double amputee to finish the Boston Marathon. Amazing. And some of it, obviously, like we've touched on, are incredibly tragic, like the bombing attack in 2013. But what I want to focus on today is a controversial competitor from the 1980 race.
Ooh.
Duck. Have either of you guys heard of Rosie Ruiz?
No. Oh, that sort of rings a bell, but I don't know if it's just a great name.
Just a good name. You're just responding to a good name.
Yeah. Instantly recognisable.
Rosie Ruiz. I'll probably say both, and I'm sorry. She was working as a secretary at a commodities trading firm in Manhattan when she stunned the running world by being the first woman to cross the finish line in Boston in 2 hours, 31 minutes, and 56 seconds.
That seems very quick.
It's very quick. It's very quick.
I have no concept of time.
Well, if you think about it, like, Bobby did it in 3 hours something, Kathy did it in 4. So 2 hours, right, 2.5 hours is really fast.
Actually, my fastest ever 10Ks is a bit under 50 minutes. So even if I was able to, which I wouldn't be able to do anything near that, if that's, so that's like 4 of those, right?
Yes.
So I'm like 4 hours is what I would do.
At your absolute peak.
Which I have never been.
Right. And she's done it in 2.5 hours.
Holy shit.
Massive. Massive.
I can't understand how people run that fast.
Oh, I think the world record's under 2 hours.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's mental.
Oh my god.
It's mental.
Insane.
Even like, so
I'm hyperventilating.
I have done twice now, I've done a 6K run down in Apollo Bay for the Great Ocean Road Running Festival.
Yeah.
And I get to about the, I want to say 1.5 to 2K mark as the leaders are coming back.
Yeah.
And they are so fast.
Isn't it weird seeing people running that fast and then knowing that they've been doing it for ages already?
And I've already stopped for 2 walk breaks. And they are they're my version of sprinting.
They'd have to slow down in school areas, right?
I think legally, yes.
Yeah.
It's insane. And then we all kind of do like, good job, keep going. They're always like teenage boys. And I'm like, that's right. Really great. Fuck you.
Just every foot, every leap is just like over a car.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
How, what distance did you say the marathon is?
A marathon is like 42.
42K.
26 so miles.
The world record is 2 hours, 1 minute, 39 seconds, meaning that for those 2 hours, the world record holder, who is he's from Kenya, Eliud Kipchoge, that would mean that his average speed for 2 hours is over 21 kilometers per hour.
What?
Yeah. At my top speed, I couldn't get close to that.
Yeah.
That's a sprint.
He sprints for 2 straight hours.
That's insane. Is he 12 foot tall? Answer that, though.
He's just.
Yeah, okay.
Crazy.
Extremely gifted.
It's incredible. The pace is amazing.
That was achieved at the 2018 Berlin Marathon. Oh, my God.
Right, so hang on. So, but that's just under 2 hours. She's done this in 2.5.
Yeah, and that's in the 80s too, so obviously things get smaller and smaller. So that's a great time. That is a great time.
That's a freak time.
So I was trying to give Matt scale, and then I sort of derailed there. Sorry, but yeah.
But so did she win the race?
Yeah. She's the first woman to cross the line.
Right.
So first woman.
Right.
Men had finished already.
And was it just a huge gap, much like your Thailand run?
Yeah.
Daylight second.
People are still finishing that race.
It was the fastest female time in Boston Marathon history.
Yeah.
And the third fastest time ever recorded by a woman in a marathon. Right. So it was huge. Like, it was fast. And when officials crowned her the winner, people noticed that she was barely sweating.
Oh, okay.
Were wild dogs involved?
Not quite. Her hair was still perfectly styled. Her face was hardly flushed after 26 miles of running at an incredibly fast pace.
Right.
Observers noted that she didn't have the usual physique of a champion long distance runner. Not to body shame, but there is a certain look of a long distance runner.
Yeah. She crossed the line not sweating, wearing a hoodie, eating a Big Mac. Something's not quite adding
up. I think
up
she
yet.
Just walked across the
in
line.
In a car. Yeah.
Someone drove across the line. Whoa, it took you two and a half hours to drive the marathon?
That's amazing.
Traffic's been a bitch.
I think there's something on. Yeah. Some sort of event.
Yeah, I ran down a couple of people.
Yeah, so she didn't have the normal expected physique of a long-distance runner. Her thighs were less lean and muscular than would be expected for someone who'd just run that time.
Well, having said that, Usain Bolt obviously doesn't have the...
He's a sprinter.
But when you look at his body compared to even his competitors, people often say that he's way too tall to be a sprinter on paper. Right. But then he's the fastest man in history. So she, I don't know, somehow could be an amazing runner.
Of course, it's not typical.
Yeah,
there isn't one perfect body shape, but it's like, oh, you look at the long-distance runners in there. In the Olympics and stuff, and they are very slim. Sprinters have like bigger thighs. It's more about power.
Yeah.
I'm
intrigued.
Yeah.
What's it called when you have neither?
Lazy.
Yeah, thank you. That's me.
I'm going to call it Warnocky.
Yeah, it's the same. Synonyms.
I don't really.
You're not lazy at all, actually.
Yeah, but what about, I'm not thin enough to be a sprinter. No, a long distance runner. But I'm not in any way muscular to be a sprinter, so...
No, you're definitely thin enough to be a sprinter. You just don't have any muscle. They still have muscle on
them. True. Sorry, that's the thing I'm missing.
I think you're a middle distance runner. That's what we're...
Yeah, yes. We're talking like 400 metres for you.
Okay.
That's probably still short.
I could try and run that distance.
Yeah, it's like the full way around a track. Could you handle it?
Not making it.
Okay.
Not making it. Where's the car?
Mum.
Gonna need the car.
In talking to her on the awards stand, the men's champion, a guy called Bill Rogers, realised that Ruiz didn't know basic things like her split times or intervals, things elite runners know by heart. So he's asking her, like, oh, what were your splits? And she's going, my what?
Split? Five?
I hope well, she was just a first-timer who just happened to be sick runner.
She later released stress test results showing her resting heart rate as 76. Most female marathoners have a resting heart rate in the 50s or lower.
Right.
So for context, mine's about 75.
Okay.
And I jog twice a week.
That sounds low. That's
really low distances.
Yeah.
Short distances. And I lift weights twice a week.
Right.
Elite runners should be, down in the 50s, between 40 and 60 probably. So she's got a very average heart rate.
Is that so? The fitter you get at the longer distance, your heart rate,
Your resting heart rate is lower.
Is resting heart rate anything to do with resting bitch face?
Yeah. No, but some people are lucky enough to have both.
Her resting bitch face was in the mid-70s when it should have been in the mid-40s.
For an elite runner. So after the race, former runner and person I mentioned earlier, Kathy Switzer, spoke to Ruiz as part of some TV coverage of the event. She was interviewing her on TV and commented that Boston was her second race ever and that she had improved from a time of 2 hours 56 in New York to 2 hours 31 in just 6 months.
I love the idea of her just being like, what, is this good?
She's on TV.
And Switzer was like, this is a huge improvement in a very short period of time. And she says, have you been doing a lot of heavy intervals, which is something that you would do to improve your time?
And she said, no, I haven't had my period yet this month.
Oh, regret? That's a big regret. Heavy intervals.
Can I ask?
You just heard heavy and
Matt's gone
went
with
to period.
With a period joke there. But can I actually ask, as the token non-fit person here, what is a heavy interval?
So as in you would be pushing for faster faster times and probably interval training. So run, walk, run, walk, run, walk.
Oh, builds okay. Your... Try and get fit.
Yes.
Like your fitness. And then so instead of aiming for 2.5 hours, you aim to like take a minute off your time or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
I had no idea what that meant either.
Okay, good. I thought, because you just moved on so quickly, I was like, well, I'm sure there's at least one person at home who doesn't know what that means, so I'm going to ask for them to.
Elite runners would know their split times. So as in, let's say, for example, you're running 5 miles, your split would be like, the first mile I did it in this time, second mile was in this time, third mile.
Now you're talking. So you're playing Gran Turismo and you're... past a checkpoint and a little thing comes out and there's a little ghost car from the last lap that shows how quick you were doing last time.
Yes.
So it's a little ghost car.
It's a ghost car.
Yeah. Understood.
God, that's
Could you
an
put
amazing
it into
analogy.
Daytona terms for me, Dave?
So you've put $2 in and you've got 30 seconds of enjoyment and now you've crashed out. What a great game.
It's good fun.
Manual, no fucking way.
Oh, never.
Whoa. If you play Daytona and you put it into manual, you are either the world's greatest driver or you're an idiot.
Manual's more fun.
No, it's not. It never makes any sense.
Not in Daytona. You're bloody doing donuts. You're spinning out. What's going on?
It's no good.
My thing was Daytona, you get 4 mates together and they're all lined up. So you try and play the same race. But if you don't hit the button in time, suddenly you're driving on your own race. They're over there.
Everyone's having fun.
Yeah. I'm just racing against the computer.
They're high-fiving each other. I'm like, you're going to be the best man at my wedding. Yeah. You're like 7 years old. They're all in business together.
Oh, it's just me versus the fucking ghost car.
little Dave. So sad. So anyway, Switzer says, have you been doing a lot of heavy intervals? And Ruiz says, no, I haven't had a period for a while. Should Actually, I get that checked? I think I need to see a doctor. Hang on, what day is it? Oh, boy.
I'm feeling kicks. Is that an issue?
Yeah. The real pullback and reveal here is that she's 7 months pregnant. But I wasn't going to say anything.
And that somehow shaved half an hour of her time.
Yeah.
Really, I'm running for two.
Got 4 legs now. So.
Yeah, my baby's running with me, let me tell you that. I do like weights training, and one of my friends that I train with is like due in a couple of weeks. She is heavily pregnant.
Still trains.
And she is deadlifting over my body weight. She's just picking me up off the... It's fucking mental and so inspiring. Women are incredible.
Does that mean the baby will be buff?
I hope so. Yeah. Tiny little baby six-pack. Oh, hello. Anyway, okay, so Switzer says, have you been doing a lot of heavy intervals? Ruiz says, someone else asked me that. I'm not sure what intervals are. What are they?
She's not even hiding it, so it feels like she's not... It's not a cheat thing. It's just that she's an alien or something.
Is it still on TV?
It's on TV, yeah. I've seen the footage. It's amazing.
And is KV Switzer like, sorry, what? What are you talking about?
She asks her a lot of questions. She keeps kind of probing, and she's like, and what, this is... How many marathons have you done? She's like, 2. Like, okay. And your first one was 6 months ago and you've improved by 20-something minutes. She's like, she's very friendly, but you can tell she's kind of like, what the fuck? And she concludes.
I've worked really hard.
Yeah.
To get where I got. You just did it a couple of times.
My now husband had to push someone off the road to let me run, but you just fucking waltz on in.
Run it like 90 minutes faster than I did.
Insane.
But can I point out that we once did an Olympic special episode where I reported on Emil Zatopek, the Czech runner.
Yeah.
And he won the gold medal at the Olympics in his first ever marathon. He signed up like the week before and was like, yeah, won the 5,000 and 10,000 meters. And he was like,
right. I'll give it a go.
Yeah, I'll give it a crack. And then won his first ever marathon. And that's Olympic standard. So maybe she's just a freak.
And we also did a bonus episode about an Olympic marathon where a man was run off track by a pack of wild dogs. And he finished the race, and I think he came in the top four. He ran an extra K
because wild dogs
chased him off course. And another man wore business pants and shoes to the start line, and someone got scissors out, cut him down. He finished the race, I think.
One hitchhiked.
Another one got an apple, ate an apple, had a stomach ache, so had a nap for an hour, and then finished the race.
If you haven't, check out that bonus episode. I've cried, laughed for the majority of it.
It was a solid. We filmed you laughing, and that video goes for a solid 2 minutes.
It's so funny. It is really.
It's really so delightful.
Wild dogs. I'm using every ounce of my self control to not cry again right now about these fucking wild dogs.
And the thing is, like, you are so dry and you rarely crack like that.
You have such little charisma.
You fucking lost it. And I was actually at one point, I thought you were crying and I thought Matt's had a bit of a breakdown here. I was sort of like gesturing to Dave, like, maybe stop recording for a minute. I think we need to check in with Matt mentally because you were just screaming. Whoa. It was the best. So, yeah, definitely go back and check out that because what happened with some dogs, Matt?
Well, I don't want to give too much away.
Run him off track. So that episode is available on our Patreon feed.
So Switzer, she kind of concludes her interview by saying, Rosie Ruiz, the mystery woman winner. We missed her at all our checkpoints.
Oh.
Which brings up an excellent point.
Wait, what?
Well, that's why she's not getting any of those times people are talking about. Because
she doesn't know her splits.
Yes, no one's giving her the splits.
So she...
hold on. Let me just try and explain this and guess what's happened. She's running so fast that they've missed her.
That's probably it.
Because people don't expect a lady to be able to run that fast on her second ever marathon.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, that seems like something's amiss and she's just saying it like it's, like, I don't understand why she's just saying, oh, we missed her at all our checkpoints on TV.
The commentator says it as she crosses the finish line.
Right.
He's like, whoop, didn't see her at any checkpoints.
There's a couple of alarm bells ringing for me.
And yet they said,
Matt, there's so many.
And yet they said, do you want to go talk about this on TV right now?
Yeah.
Let's not just quick little check.
Yeah. Let's give her the medal, make the fuss, announce the winner.
Yeah, and everyone's clapping.
And I guess we'll just go from there. So no one, neither competitor nor spectator, could remember having seen her during the first 25 miles.
She was that quick.
That is fast.
She acknowledged.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads
to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
That she'd only started training 18 months earlier.
she only ran the last 5 miles of the race.
By running around Central Park because she was from New York. And she only ever competed in one other marathon, the New York Marathon, 6 months earlier, where she had a notably slower, although still impressive time. So that's when she did in 2:56.
Yeah.
But now she's in 6 months has shaved off 20 minutes. When asked by a reporter why she did not seem fatigued after the grueling race, she said, I got up with a lot of energy this morning.
Yeah.
Which I get.
Had a barocca.
There's some days where you're like, I'm jumping out of bed. And other days, bloody hell, it is a struggle.
Yeah.
Am I right?
It's a real struggle.
Am I right?
When that alarm goes off, I hit snooze a couple times. You know what I'm saying.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's got a lot of energy. So that's why she doesn't even seem tired after running a full marathon.
I just want to.
That one makes sense.
Because I love stats and facts. 30 plus years later, the record for fastest marathon by a woman is 2 hours and 15 minutes. So she's only 15 minutes off world record pace 35 years
it's
ago.
It's a doable pace, but it's very fast.
For your second ever marathon, that is really fast.
Top three all time at that stage.
Yeah.
You're a freak. The good kind. Mm. Some of her fellow female competitors asked her what she noticed about the suburb of Wellesley? Wellesley.
And
Wellesley.
She said, oh, the trees. And they said, there is no Wellesley. Aha!
Well, no, they asked her about it because famously the students of Wellesley College, which is a women's college, form what is affectionately called the Scream Tunnel. For about a quarter of a mile or 400 metres, the students line the course and they scream and they cheer for the runners, particularly female runners. And the tunnel is roughly half a mile before the halfway mark of the course.
Okay.
And runners say that you can hear it about a mile away.
Yeah.
So you know you're getting close because you can already hear them screaming.
So they're just standing there screaming nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
They're just being supportive.
Sounds like a hazing procedure.
No, well,
are they trying to get an alpha delta or something?
They're just cheering, but they call it the Scream Tunnel. But when they asked about Wellesley, she did not mention the Scream Tunnel at all. So they were like, that's weird. You'd probably be aware of that.
Yeah.
She accidentally ran the wrong course.
Oh, that's sweet.
A longer course.
I ran from New York.
Canadian runner Jacqueline Garreau was told that she was leading the race at the 18-mile mark. So as she sort of gets to that checkpoint, they're like, you're in the lead, kid. And Patty Lyons was told she was second at the 17-mile mark. Ruiz couldn't have passed either of them without being noticed, as both were obviously gunning for the women's title. So they would have been hyper aware of other women.
Yeah.
So they're like, we didn't see her at all, and I was told I was winning.
Why not lift each other up, ladies? You know what I mean?
Right? Yeah.
Been hyper aware of each other. Why so competitive?
Come on.
You know what I mean?
In a race.
Yeah.
Why so competitive? In a competition.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like,
thank you.
Duh.
So you see what I see.
Do you see any of the men being competitive?
Yeah, exactly. Now we're doing feminism right.
Yes. Let's keep it equal. Several spotters at checkpoints throughout the course also didn't remember seeing her in the first group of women. In addition, she did not appear in any pictures or video footage.
I think Dave's right. Too fast for cameras.
That's fast.
There were blurs fast. In some shots.
Yeah. You can see me here, and possibly here.
Yeah. I mean, that's just technology not keeping up with her.
Yeah.
But a few days later, two Harvard students came forward to say they'd seen her run onto the course from the sidelines just a mile from the finish line.
That is awesome. That is so awesome. Is she just like a Chaser's War and Everything style prank? Is that what this is?
It's just, Chaz Lichadello.
Is this Johnny Knoxville trying to win the marathon?
So Yeah. I was thinking the way she was answering it just sounded like she was real naive. But if she's just straight up blatantly cheated, that's so funny that she's then gone.
So funny.
I didn't even research any of the terms.
What are intervals? I don't know.
What's running?
I just went for a jog.
Yeah.
Just decided yesterday I'd give it a go. So the skepticism surrounding Rosie Ruiz led to the New York Marathon to also look into the legitimacy of her finishing time from 6 months earlier. For the New York Marathon, she was credited with a time of 2:56.29, which was the 11th woman overall, enough for her to qualify for Boston. Weirdly, her application for the New York Marathon was submitted after the cutoff date, but she'd been granted special dispensation due to her claim that she was dying of brain cancer.
Oh.
She was absolutely not dying of brain cancer.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's really not, that's the right thing to do if she is dying. Let her in.
Let her in. No, she wasn't. A woman called Susan Morrow, who was a freelance photographer, came forward to tell the New York Times that she'd been on the subway with Ruiz during the New York Marathon.
Jeez, how are these people's memories?
She won the marathon by catching a train.
So she did start it.
But is that during the New York one? Or
no,
the
New York. This is in New York.
So the 11th one. So
New York's looking into it now as well.
And then she was on... I imagine...
How is this photographer's memory of 6 months ago? Oh,
it
yeah.
It wasn't six... Oh, yeah, it might have been 6
You know
months,
how
yeah.
she... Because she remembers someone jogging onto the...
Exactly.
And then standing in front of the door jogging for 25 minutes. And then
she
when
would
the
have
doors
been wearing
open,
a number and a... Yeah,
doors
yeah.
open, she ran out. So I think that is technically... it's jogging on the spot.
Yeah.
But it's running. But
she's still covering the ground.
Yeah.
Well, Ruiz had told Susan that she had dropped out at the 10-mile mark with an injured ankle and that she was trying to just get to the finish line to watch her fellow competitors finish the race. She's like, I started, hurt my ankle. I'm just going to go and cheer him on. So they're on the train together, they're chatting, and then the two women walked together from the subway to the race, but Susan then lost sight of her new friend and didn't think anything of it until news of the Boston controversy broke. So does that explain
how does she remember? She just saw this woman on the train, formed a lifelong bond, and then all of a sudden she remembers her 6 months later? No. Oh, yeah, maybe.
Their brains don't work that way.
Women can't remember more than 1.5 miles at a time.
Women can't remember more than 1.5 people.
Yeah, I study phrenology, and is that the one with
the brain size?
I study phrenology, and yeah, I think I understand women can't run a race.
Who do you reckon has the smallest brain of the three of us?
Ooh. Don't answer that.
Dave's got a big head.
Thank you. Big empty head.
Tiny.
Plenty of room in this dome.
Got that Homer buffer around the brain.
Yeah, that's right. I can take a 2x4.
No problem. Anyway, so New York City Marathon officials launched an investigation and could not find any sign of Ruiz near the finish line. On April 25, so the New York one, she didn't actually even cross the finish line.
Right.
What apparently happened is that she like went to a medical tent or something. Again, probably like, oh, my ankle. And they're like, oh, what was your time? And she told them and they just noted it down.
That's how easy it is?
That's not a good
That's
system.
How easy it was.
Okay. That's awesome.
Now you got little tags that they beep.
Hey, yeah, so I just did it in 15 minutes, so can I have a sandwich?
So they go through thousands of photos, all of their press, video and everything. Nothing of her.
Do you get a prize? Other than the glory
That's
of
a
the
great
stage.
Question. I don't actually know. So, I don't think so.
Because you can understand if she's got $50,000 or something.
No.
But like,
sounds like a lot of effort to figure out if this woman came 11th or not.
Yeah, exactly. So then on April 25, based on this and other evidence, the Games Committee of the New York City Marathon retroactively disqualified Ruiz from the 1979 race. So they're like, you didn't actually finish. You're disqualified. Later that week, the Boston Marathon also disqualified her as well. So technically, because they disqualified her from New York, she probably already should have been disqualified from Boston, but Boston did some of their own research and they disqualified her as well.
Right.
Are you looking up if there's prize money?
Yeah, did you want to know?
Yeah, is there?
Currently, the fastest overall man and woman each win $150,000.
Oh, fuck.
Whoa, that is big money.
That's huge.
Second gets 75, third 40, and yeah. You get so it wouldn't have been like this back then, but 11th place gets $2,600.
Oh wow! That New York or Boston?
That's Boston.
So, right. Okay. She came 11th in New York.
Oh yeah, so she came first in Boston.
First in Boston.
But I imagine the 1980 would have been
different. But regardless,
there is Seeming, at least now there is.
Yeah, I wonder if there was then.
That's a lot of cash.
I didn't read anything about the money, so maybe there wasn't at the time. Right. I'm sorry if you're, if you know the race inside out and you know the answer, but I don't. I didn't read anything about any prize money or anything like that, so I'm not sure. Anyway, so yeah, Boston's done their own investigation and then they take action. And so Jacqueline Garraud was declared the female winner with a time of 2 hours, 34 minutes. So she only came in 4 minutes behind this woman anyway.
Who
at that time
didn't run.
Yeah, at that time it was the fastest fastest recorded for a woman in the Boston Marathon. And Patty Lyons was moved up to second place and her time of 2 hours, 35 minutes, so she was just behind Jackie, was the fastest ever recorded for an American woman in a marathon at the time. So Rosie's bullshit dampened these two women breaking records.
I still am not convinced about the bullshit. My theory is she's so fast, too fast for cameras.
What was, what do it, oh, I guess you're going to explain. What was in it for her? Was she just sort of, she was just a bit of a troublemaker?
Who knows?
I still don't know.
Who knows? Because after her disqualification, Ruiz was quoted as saying, "I can truthfully and honestly say without hesitation that today has been the second saddest day of my life."
Okay.
"Only to be surpassed by the day I had to leave my father in my native country 18 years ago." She left Cuba for Florida when she was 8 years old.
Right.
So she is still going, "No, I absolutely..." And there was like, there was press leading up to before she was disqualified and she was like crying and saying like, "It's just so insulting." She's like, "I got to enjoy it for 1 minute and then there's all of this has started and everyone's doubting me, and if this title is stripped from me, I don't know what I'll do." Like, she was really... And people were supporting her. Like, she joined a running club in New York. Not the new... Like, the New York Roadrunners are like a really big one.
Yeah.
And even Switzer is asking her about it in the interview and she's like, "No, I'm not a member of them." She's joined some running club the week before the New York Marathon and people from that are backing her up.
Oh.
They're like, "No, she can run that far? Of course she can."
Oh, weird.
It's really weird.
So, it is the kind of thing where she, if there's all this press and stuff going, "Well, you've cheated, you can't run that fast," she could go, "Well, all right, next week let's do it again. Everyone can watch me do it."
In one newspaper, they ran like a little article thing saying, "Hey, we believe you.
Yeah.
Really, we do. Prove it to people, do it again, and we'll give you $1,000.
Yeah.
Which at the time was big money. But she was like, "That's, I won't do that.
I choose not to run."
Yeah, exactly.
She buried it.
Superman theme.
Yeah.
So the whole time, she never admitted that she'd lied and cheated. And she always stood by her claim that she had just done a few extra laps of Central Park and that was it. Just, "I won. I don't know how to explain that I'm not in any photos, that nobody saw me, that there's no checkpoints, that I wasn't sweating."
What do you mean she did a few extra laps?
She was saying that that's how she decreased her time so significantly. "Oh, I've been running around Central Park a lot.
I didn't train for the New York and I trained a little bit for this." So obviously...
I thought you were saying, "I ran at the same speed, but in New York I got lost. I did a few laps in Central Park, then no. I found the way, and then so that was 25 minutes lost."
Yeah, silly me. But hey, still came 11th, so...
Did she ever run again professionally?
Nah.
Wow.
How confusing.
That is full Jerry. She just never ran again, so we can never fully prove that she can't run that fast.
She has always maintained that she completed and won the race fair and square. She kept her medal. They let her keep the medal and they made a new one for Jacqueline Garraud.
Okay.
So she always maintained that she did it. But in 1996, a guy called Steve Marrick, one of the people who had been defending her, a member of that running club, he said that several months after the marathon, she admitted to him that she'd cheated. But that's the only... That's the only time that she's apparently said she did.
Right, but it's a bit of hearsay.
Yeah, and prove it, man.
This is a quote from him to the Boston Globe. He said, "She jumped out of the crowd, not knowing that the first woman hadn't gone by yet. Believe me, she was as shocked as anyone when she came in first." Right. So she timed it badly.
Yeah.
Because if she'd come in, I don't know if she planned on winning it, but if she'd come in like maybe further down.
Like she did in New York.
Yeah, like less notable, but maybe still for a little bit of prize money. That's maybe like, it was money related.
That's like when we talked about, I did the report on Donald Crowhurst, who entered that round the world sailing event.
Yeah.
His plan was to, in the end, come in second, because first is the one that people focus on, and then they go through photos and make. But if you come second, they go, yeah, great, good on you. You came second, no worries. So and she could have done that.
Like he still would have completed it.
Yeah, so you still get the kudos of, yeah, I did it. But, yeah. My surprise is that she jumped out of the crowd and no one was like, hey, what's that lady doing?
Yeah.
But yet someone 6 months earlier remembered a subway ride with her.
Yeah. More recently, very recently, Bill Rogers, the guy who won, the man who won, he was interviewed about it as well. And his theory, like he was the one who like noticed she wasn't sweating and didn't know her split times and stuff. But he was like, she was wearing quite a heavy T-shirt and she had the sleeves down. If you're running, you're going to roll your sleeves up so that you can sweat. I'm like, Bill, do you understand how sweat works? It doesn't come out of the T-shirt. What are you talking about?
Some people run in T-shirts, Bill.
Yeah, but some people run in, like, space suits. They can do whatever they want to do, Bill. What a weird thing to say.
Did you see Kathy Freeman? She wore a
hoodie. And she smashed
it. All the way to gold. Are there doubts about that run?
Oh, my God. Oh my God. There better not be.
I mean, that was very televised.
Yeah,
there were so many
cameras.
We've
definitely seen start to finish of that one.
Yeah. Every angle. Because it also went for 20 seconds or something. Yeah.
The maximum I could do at school, I'm not a long distance runner. I was definitely a sprinter. And I was good at 100 metres. 200 was a push. The one time I tried 400, oh boy.
Did you make it?
Yeah, but poorly.
They're
and
meant
then
to
1,000
be the hardest,
metres,
though.
My God. What?
400 and 800 are meant to be there because they're like sprints, but they're long sprints, so they're the most brutal ones.
Well, it's kind of about like you got to get your pace right, so you're not going 100% the whole time,
right?
But I was like, I don't really know how to go like 75%.
Yeah,
I'm doing it.
I don't know how to do anything less than 100.
I don't know how to not go super fast.
I don't know how to not win.
Yeah.
So she was never officially punished for her course cutting. But her lying didn't stop there. Also, I also read that a lot of like marathoners consider course cutting worse than doping.
Right.
Like that is the ultimate dog act.
Because doping, you still have to run the full race.
Exactly. Doping, at least you're still attempting the full thing. But if you're cutting the course, you are a fucking dog.
I reckon course cutting is the funnier of the two, though. Like if you can get away,
100%.
Like if you to bring it back to video games, you're playing Mario Kart or whatever, and if you can like do like a little thing that cuts off half a lap or something, you like drive through the sand and it works out in your favor. That's a great moment.
Yeah,
that is a great moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been outsmarted other runners.
Exactly.
Don't get so upset.
Yeah, it's a tactic.
Yeah.
Course cutting is a tactic. If you can get away with it.
Yeah. I'm running
do it.
Less distance faster than you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm being efficient.
Yeah. Who's the idiot here?
Come on. I have to explain this to your tiny brain?
Also, I've taken steroids, which apparently is less bad.
Yeah, her lying didn't quite stop there. So a couple of years later, she was charged for embezzling $60,000 from a real estate company where she worked. She spent 1 week in jail and was sentenced to 5 years probation.
No, surely the transaction was just too fast to track.
Does just got the vibe of a compulsive liar who kind of believes her own bullshit.
I think so.
That is often part of the problem, really, isn't it? Mm.
Well, she then moved back to South Florida, where she was arrested in 1983 for her involvement in a cocaine deal to an undercover cop.
Cocaine makes you pretty
customers.
Quick.
And again, 3 years probation. Didn't do any jail time for that.
Mm.
Basically, just kind of summing it up. So Rosie Ruiz actually, she passed away earlier this year. Possibly why Brianna was aware of her. It was in the news a little bit again. But her death almost went unnoticed. Someone happened to spot an obituary with a photo that looked a lot like her and the name Rosie M. Vivas, which is a surname she understandably kept even after her divorce in the late 80s. You probably wouldn't keep Ruiz, you know. People could look you up too easily.
She must have a very memorable face.
Yeah, it does like...
People are seeing photos being like, oh, that's her. People are remembering her from the subway, of course.
Yeah. Well, there's like lots of photos and footage from those press conferences and stuff, so you can compare them pretty easily.
Are you saying that she kept a different name because you believe that she doesn't like notoriety? This woman who cheated to win races? I don't like attention.
Oh, I don't like... Oh, I don't want everyone looking at me. Oh, no. But, yeah, basically she was... she passed away earlier this year. I think... cancer, if I'm remembering correctly, and she was survived by her partner of 26 years, Margarita Alvarez, and Alvarez's three sons. So after the race and a couple of criminal offences in the 80s, pretty normal, quiet life from then on. But for that one race in 1980, she was the centre of attention for a long time, and we never really got closure where she was like, yeah, look, I meant to come in like fourth, have some cash and move on.
Right.
I stuffed up my timing.
How old was she when she passed?
66 or something. Oh, I forgot to mention she was 26 at the time of the Boston Marathon.
Right. So quite young.
So are we led to believe this is some sort of mystery episode?
In a way, yes. And also, they were like, well, this looks like her. So there's a little part of me that's like,
she's still out there. It might not even be her.
No, I'm pretty sure it is, but... And I don't mean to disrespect, but there's a little part of me that's like, maybe she's not.
Wow, she's too fast for death.
I can't.
Could the mole people be involved? Yeah. Maybe they tunneled her a shortcut?
Yeah. I can only assume that is exactly what's happening.
Wow. Course cutting through the mole people.
Yeah.
But that is my report on Rosie Ruiz and the 1980 Boston Marathon.
That is such an interesting tale. Thank you very much, Jess Perkins.
So, well done.
So fun. So wild.
Crazy.
Well done, Rosie Ruiz. Yeah.
And well done to the patrons for picking a good story.
Yeah. That's one I'd never heard of.
I tried not to give it away too much because the way that Brianna had written it in the hat was like, Rosie Ruiz, the woman who won the marathon by like taking the subway. But I didn't want to put that in there and ruin it for people. So I just said she won by cheating.
Right.
And 50% of the people were like, tell me more, Jess. So you're voted.
Never been proven, but you're saying she cheated.
I'm saying she cheated and she's maybe alive.
Wow.
Whoa.
So, and also her running club backed her up. So I think she is legit and too fast for cameras. Mm.
Yeah.
So Matt and I are not convinced that she's a cheater.
Because even if the mole people did burrow her a shortcut, that's going to still be longer because she's got to go down.
Yeah.
And then up again.
Yeah, that takes time.
Yeah.
Through the fortress of the moles.
Exactly. Yeah. She probably had to stop for tea, which is, you know, one of the cultural things they make you do.
It'd be very rude to disrespect the
And they are notoriously messy, so she really had to climb over some stuff too, you know. It wasn't
I've
an easy path.
I've never pictured the mole people. Are they people who look like moles or moles who look like people?
I'm imagining Hans Mole Man because there is that Simpsons thing where he says, there is no escape from the fortress of the moles, and then he bungee jumps straight back up. Oh, that's good stuff.
There we go. You snuck one in there.
Another Simpsons thing that I could, it just was running through my head the whole way through. One of the characters in this story was called Spitzer, and my head kept going,
White wine Spitzer.
Great episode.
Yeah. But here we are.
That is a great, great tale. Thank you very much, Jess Perkins, for informing us.
An absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much.
And before we jump into our Patreon section of the episode, just in case people missed it at the start of this episode, we are hitting up Sydney this Saturday night for a fantastic live show at the Giant Dwarf Theatre.
Ah, Dwarf the Rock Johnson's friend. The Giant Dwarf.
This Saturday night in Redfern. And we also just announced our Ireland and UK tour happening in December, where we're visiting Dublin, Glasgow, Leeds, Bristol, London and Birmingham. Tickets for the Patreon supporters are on sale this Friday morning, local time, and Monday morning for everyone else if tickets are still available.
Mm.
So please.
Come on down!
Oh my God, it would be so great if everyone came out again, because it was like probably the best couple of weeks of my year last year going to the UK with you guys.
Oh, big time. It was awesome.
So fun.
And I'm really excited to go back. We had so much fun at the shows last year, but also it's just, you know, beautiful part of the world. And I get to go back to Dublin, so I'm very happy.
So fun. And we pretty much, I feel like we met a good 50% of the people who came to the shows. After the shows, took us as long as the shows.
Longer. Yeah. It was amazing.
So nice.
And we'll be doing that again, hanging out, saying hey, getting some photos if you are keen to do that.
Yeah.
And yes, if you missed it as well at the top, we're in the midst of planning a North American thing. It's going to be most likely Canada in the first half of next year, and we will have more details to announce about that in the coming weeks or months.
Yes, coming time.
Yes, thank you. That's more efficient. In the time ahead. Well, that brings us to everyone's favorite segment of the show. It's the fact, quote, or question segment of the show.
Fact, quote, or question.
And that's where one of our patrons at patreon.com/dogoonpod on the Sydney Sheinberg Deluxe level get to give us a fact, a quote, or, you probably guessed it by now, a question. One of those three. And this week, already been mentioned on this episode, funnily enough, Tiernan Ennis.
Tiernan!
Hey!
He's given us a quote, but you also get to give yourself a title, and he's given himself the title of fifth tier assistant to the seventh level intern of the sound department of Do Go On Tour.
Yes.
That is no joke. That's just the next one in line, entirely coincidentally.
That's awesome. Do you reckon about Tiernan? And I'd hope that he and his lovely wife wouldn't mind me saying this. I feel like I could run at Tiernan and jump, and he would just catch me, you know? I think it's because he reminds me of my friend Lewis physically. They look very similar. Tall men with
strong
red
core,
beards.
You're thinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I do that to Lewis. I just jump, and he catches me.
I reckon
Tiernan would – I would trust him to catch me.
We're talking like Dirty Dancing catch?
Oh, well, I don't think I have the core strength for that.
Right.
But, no, more just like you know?
Yeah.
That kind of – catch me!
If you fall, I will be waiting
time after time.
Tiernan.
anyway, Tiernan.
He's given us a quote, which we don't get heaps of quotes, I don't believe. And his quote is, "A corpse is meat gone bad. Well, and what's cheese? Corpse of milk." That's a James Joyce quote. And
a famous Dubliner.
And then he said, "Not everyone likes cheese. Yuck."
And I just talked about cheese before.
You did.
This is spooky.
I feel like Tiernan is giving us a subtle hint. He's not into cheese.
And that's fine. I wasn't for a long time either. And then I discovered a double brie.
Oh, did you discover the joy of cheese?
Yum, yum, yum.
God, I live for it. I live for cheese.
You
I live
cheese.
For the milk corpse.
That isn't, the milk corpse isn't a way I would describe it to try and get someone on board, but.
Sorry, I just had an idea for the next part of what we do here.
Oh, great. Well, we should say a big thank you to Tiernan Ennis. What a bloody legend.
Thanks, Tiernan.
Can't wait to
assistant.
See you very soon.
In Dublin, I'll shout you some cheese, mate. Hoping that you'll say you hate it and then I'll eat it all.
Yeah, let's share a cheese platter.
So that brings us to everyone's favourite segment of the show, and that is where we thank a few of our Patreons.
Yes, and I've had an idea for a game we can play with our Patreons this week. And that is, what sporting event do we think they would win? Legitimately, these are not a bunch of cheaters.
Right, okay.
Is that an okay idea?
Great, because I mean, I love the idea that they course cut no matter what the sport is, even for archery.
Yeah, great, okay. Yeah, that's fair. Can I start things off?
Sure, please do.
All right. From, oh my God, and again, ironically, not ironically, but coincidentally, from Dublin, in Dublin, I would like to thank Emma Coogan.
Oh, Coogs. Oh,
Emma, Coogster. This has been a big episode for you. First of all, you find out we're coming to you. Secondly, I mention your name. Thirdly, you go, oh, fuck, I'm actually away during that time and I won't be there. I don't know. I'm just assuming. Maybe. It's possible. You've got plans.
Coogs, are you going to be there?
Coogs, come on down. Coogs.
Coogs.
Emma Coogan.
So what's the thing? It's an event?
Or any kind of sporting event
sporting
or a sport?
Event. I'm going to say she wins the 100-meter guitar solo sprint.
Whoa! So she's got a sprint
so
and
got a
shred.
Yeah, there's a Marshall stack at the finish line. You've got a 100-meter lead and you're holding a Telecaster, right?
I love that there are wireless systems available, but you've still got a lead.
Because you've got to run the full length of the lead. And whoever knocks over their stack first, but you got to shred the whole way.
Wow.
And she did.
Wow. Good for Emma.
Wow. What was her solo of choice? Or is it like, do you just
her
make
shortcut
it up?
Was she used power chords. So.
Right.
Oh, that's
is that a
cheating.
Shortcut? Is that cheating?
Sure.
Especially if you're supposed to be doing a solo.
I mean,
yeah.
This is also
you're playing chords. Oh, I just played a G chord for 100 metres. That is not a solo.
It's not a solo.
Coogs, come on.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. That's a G, isn't it?
That's just really annoying.
Yeah.
It wasn't even fun to listen to. Also, they're all competing at the same time.
Yeah. It's a cacophony.
It wouldn't sound good.
Yeah. Bloody, that guy who's in jail for murder loved it, though. The guy, the wall of sound guy.
Okay.
What's his name?
I can picture his face.
There's an episode in him. What? I was listening to something recently that I was talking about. It was like
Phil Spector, producer who went to jail a few years ago. He like produced Let It Be, the original.
John Mulaney was on a podcast. For the Beatles. He's like, and he was saying how he wore an Afro wig at his trial as a tribute to Jimi Hendrix.
Good.
His trial for what?
For murder, the one that he went to jail for. He wore this huge Afro wig, apparently, as a tribute to Jimi Hendrix, as he's getting sentenced for murder. It's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Thinking?
We got to do an episode. I forgot about it. We got to do an episode on that guy.
I mean, that's entirely within our control.
Yeah.
You can definitely do that.
Okay.
Thank you so much to Emma Coogan. We really hope that we can see you in a few months in your beautiful, beautiful city. And I would also like to thank, oh my God, from another place we're going very soon.
We promise that this is
Sydney.
Not worked out like this.
We are going to Leeds.
We are, yes.
And hopefully we are going to see Jimothy Miller there.
Jimothy. That's so good. I didn't know that was a real name.
I was going to say.
That's been a
Have you
a
met other Jimothys?
Favorite joke name of mine, Jimothy. I call my friend James Jimothy sometimes.
That's good.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was a real name.
Jimothy.
I don't know how to feel about that.
Jimothy.
Jimothy Miller. Sick name.
So good.
Love it.
Thank you, Jimothy.
Okay, what Leeds. Sport, Dave, is Jimothy the winner of?
I think he's really good on the unparalleled bars.
Oh.
In the gymnastics.
The uneven bars.
No, not the uneven, the unparalleled.
So they cross over at some point.
Yeah.
Where?
Basically, what they do for this event is they take you to any, like you're blindfolded, you put in a van.
Uh-huh.
Sounds weird, but it's not. But it is. And they drive you to any park. They release you onto the jungle gym and you've got to perform with whatever you got there.
Right.
And they call that the unparalleled bars because there's stuff going on.
The swirly ones. And
yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
You've got the ones with noughts and crosses on them.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to try and play a noughts and crosses game.
Within there's the steering wheel route. For some reason up top there.
Wow.
Two different slides. You get burnt by both of them.
God.
And he is the best.
Wow, Jimothy.
Thanks, Jimothy. We hope to see you in Leeds. The Wardrobe. What a great venue there that was. Lovely.
That was a lot of fun. Loved our time at the Wardrobe.
Hmm.
Oh, you know what's different about this tour of the UK? I'm not drinking.
Oh, no.
Does that mean you're not driving? No, you are not driving. Sorry.
No. I learn a lot in that year of not drinking. I'm way more responsible these days. Why are you looking at me like that?
So we'd leave that for a second.
Yeah, have a think about that.
Genuinely, I am.
Okay.
I am.
Okay.
I like to drive. Can I thank a couple of people,
I would love if you would thank a couple of people.
Oh, thank you so much. I'd love to thank from Sheffield, which isn't actually too far from Leeds.
No, I think that is a few people from Sheffield were at our last year's Leeds show.
I would love to thank Hannah McAfee. Which is a name I've seen. I think I might have even chatted to Hannah before online. It's one of my all-time favourite names, Hannah McAfee.
It's so good.
So good.
It's genuinely so good.
Hannah McAfee. What do you think? What kind of event do you think she won? Perco?
Hannah is actually the world champion of freestyle improvised synchronised swimming. But it's not synchronised, obviously, because it's improvised and it's solo. So
wow.
Basically she just – it's like – water dancing.
Oh.
If you think about that, you think about like calisthenics or like sports aerobics.
Yeah.
It's that, but in the water.
Yeah.
Wow. But also I think the thing that it stands out so much about Hannah is the elements of ballet that she incorporates.
Oh, wow.
Because it's not just physically impressive in terms of like the power. It's also really moving.
She puts the lake in Swan Lake.
Yes.
Wow.
And honestly, the judges were in tears.
Holy
shit.
It
was truly moving and beautiful.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, great.
Yeah,
she,
they
she
weren't like,
threaten them
I
or something.
Hate it, you know?
Part of the dance was her yelling at them.
Pointing at their floors.
Evoking emotion is what she calls
okay,
it.
Okay,
yeah. So, yeah, that's what Hannah.
I feel evoked.
Yeah. I feel emotion.
Hannah McAfee, thank you so much for your support.
Hope we
thank
can
you,
see you, Hannah.
Hannah McAfee, a 55-minute drive if you left now from Sheffield to Leeds.
Don't leave now.
No, you'll be there so early.
Way too early.
An 11-hour walk.
Okay.
That seems, still, you
don't
have
to leave. That's less waiting time.
Yeah.
Just. Move there and just wait.
I want to, can we drive through Sheffield? I've heard good things.
Sure. If we've got time.
Great.
It's pretty tight
turnaround. It is a tight tour. Could I also thank, a little closer to home, in Cranbourne West.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Ashley Bujour Latchford.
Oh, now Ashley.
Now that is a name. That
Jess,
is...
could you have a crack at that for me?
Ashley.
ABL?
What? ABL. Oh, Ashley. Get Dave to do it. Dave's better at things.
Yeah, he's French.
I reckon Bujour is probably.
Yeah, I reckon. And Ashley, I reckon you're probably used to people saying that wrong.
Ashley,
if we didn't
Bujour
get it right,
Latchford.
I'm very sorry.
Thank you so Ashley. Much. Ashley. Dave, do you have any idea what Ashley...
Well, I reckon a double barrel name, a double barrel shotgun.
Oh.
She's a competitive shooter.
Yep.
And she shoots the tires of mailmen.
Whoa.
But tires of mailmen.
Yep.
Like, and she's really trucks good at it. Or...
Yeah, no, like the bikes.
Posty bikes?
Posty bikes. She takes out their tires.
Cool.
And she's so good at it that they were like, can't beat them, join them. Give her a medal.
Wow. So she was just doing it recreationally for a while.
Yeah, she just had a thing against the post.
Yeah. Oh, don't we all?
They delivered, but well, they didn't deliver a few too many times.
Yeah.
We're assuming Ashley is a woman's name, are we?
Because that could definitely be male. They. There you go.
Sorry, Ashley, if I've presumed wrong there.
They are.
Either way, you're handy with a double barrel shotgun.
Yes.
No, I've just Googled her. I believe if this is her with a horse.
Are we sure the horse is not?
How many her? Ashley Bujour Latchfords could there be? I found her MySpace.
God, that's weird that you Googled her.
Oh, sorry. Sorry if that's weird. Sorry.
Don't worry, Matt. We'll drop by your house on the way home tonight just
and
to double check.
No, I won't look. I just was like, oh, Ashley is a unisex name.
Is there anything else on the MySpace? That's
oh my god,
I haven't looked.
Oh
I closed
god.
It
Dave,
as soon as
please
Jess
thank,
shamed me.
Thank a couple of people.
So
please.
I was just hoping for like some rainbows or something. You know that remember you just have to code it yourself.
Oh yeah, that was weird.
Part of the fun, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I was like, I want this bit to be bold, and this bit to be italic, and this bit to be in a bigger font. And I knew how to do that. Now,
yeah.
No idea.
And heart semicolon.
Yeah, of course. And, like, who's your top friend? It was always my best friend, Christy, because no man got in our way. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, right. And you
I'll
and Christy?
With Tom, I think.
Yeah.
You and Christy, no man's ever gotten in your way? Or...
No.
Nice.
No man.
That's a beautiful story.
Yep. She's married, and at her wedding, there's a picture of when we were signing all the documents and shit.
Autographs.
She's sitting down, and her new husband is, like, giving her a kiss on the cheek. On the other side, there's Perko, also giving her a little kiss on the cheek, just to remind him that she's not all yours, mate, yeah.
Just
okay?
to remind him that she has an inappropriate best friend, yeah. Ready to ruin every moment.
She has a best friend who doesn't know boundaries.
Cutting the cake, first dance with her dad, you're there.
I was there. Oh, what, I wasn't? What, the maid of honour's not supposed to jump in there and dance with the dad?
Come here, Ian. I assume his name's Ian.
His name's Rudy.
Wow, that's really cool.
He's a great dude.
It's a really cool name.
I know that because I'm very close with the family. James,
a little too
back
close.
Off.
A little
all
too
right.
Close. I would like to finally thank two fantastic people that have been supporting the show for a while now. I would like to thank from Alexandria in New South Wales.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to thank Amelia Rice.
Rice.
Good name, Amelia
Good
name. Rice.
Amelia Rice, yeah, I like
great
that a
name.
Lot.
Like a one-syllable last name.
Champion climber of trees.
Yeah.
Wow.
Real tall trees.
Really tall ones.
Really quick to the top or can go the highest?
She's quick to the top of the highest trees.
But also technique-wise.
Yeah.
She is renowned in the sport as like a beautiful climber.
Right, so this judge is giving her tens.
And it's just nice to watch.
And once on top, she can just prance on the canopies.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Prance.
How does she do it? Up on the canopies. Prancing.
That's not even part of the competition anymore.
She just does it. It's just part of her flair.
That's her showing off, really.
Yeah, she's quite arrogant.
But,
no,
but
wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be if you could prance?
When you're the best.
She prances
you know
on a canopy.
She's not an idiot.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Amelia Rice.
Thank you, Amelia Rice.
Appreciate your support. And finally, another Irish listener. And
bloody
again,
hell.
This is just from chance, but been supporting the show for a long time from Tipperary.
Hey, we're a long, long way from Tipperary. That's a thing, isn't it?
Is that whereabouts in Ireland is that?
Whereabouts is Tipperary
in
Ireland?
I don't know my geography too.
Tipperary.
Oh, that looks, it's like the middle of Ireland towards, between Dublin and Cork. So maybe you can make it up to our show in Dublin. It is a Sunday. I would like to thank from Tipperary, Ian Maher. Sorry, we all said it now.
Ian Maher.
Thank you so much for your support, Ian.
Ian Meager.
That is possibly how it should be
it's
said.
It's not how it's said.
Jess, what are you thinking for Ian Maher from Tipperary?
It's actually interesting. It's a more recent sport on the global sporting scene.
Yes.
But he is actually a champion sleepwalker.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, what you do is you walk in your sleep. Okay. What a dumb fucking question. Are you serious?
So silly. Yeah,
is he so good that he never wakes up?
He's actually, like, he's attempted half his record awake. Can't do it.
Wow, okay.
He is that good, just switched off.
I'm so confused.
He sleepwalks long distances.
I'm so impressed. Is he so
quickly?
He's so good at sleepwalking that he got a job that he didn't even apply for. He just wandered into an office asleep and they were that impressed. He's in his pajamas.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the job?
He's active pajamas.
What was the job?
Modeling pajamas.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh my.
Please, can you stand in the window? They paid a minimum wage, if anything, was a. They left him in the window for 20 hours.
Yeah.
They owe Ian an apology.
He awoke very rested.
He woke up in the main street of Tipperary.
Yeah.
The window. But yeah,
so Ian is nationally ranked and soon to be competing internationally.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
It really is. Thank you so much, Ian.
A lot of people aren't really taking sleepwalking that seriously yet, but Ian's really at the forefront of getting the recognition that it deserves.
Well done, Ian.
Putting it on the Irish map.
Yeah. And that's, you know, we, the people of Ireland, including myself, we thank you.
Are you a people of Ireland?
I like to think so. Hmm. I've been asked for directions in Dublin. I think that counts.
Wow.
Perkins feels Irish.
Perkins is very English.
Did you know the directions or did you just make them up?
I actually did that time.
That is satisfying.
Yeah.
Did you?
It was to a landmark.
Don't want to be racist, but did you put on an Irish accent to try and keep up the facade?
I didn't.
Right.
Is that racist?
I didn't feel comfortable doing that.
Is that?
But then they also noticed that I didn't sound Irish. And they're like, what? And I said, I'm Australian.
And they said, why am I trusting you, idiot?
I've just been here before. And also, I just came from the thing you're trying to get to. It's just up there.
Well, I don't believe it.
They spat on you.
Yeah, it was very. They went the opposite way on purpose. And I was like, all right, well, I was right. So I guess you'll never know.
They just kept wandering. They refused to turn back.
Yeah, I was like, wow, you are stubborn.
Lying
Australian. They were also Australians. Anyway, thank you so much to everybody that we have just mentioned.
That's right. And if you want to join that crew, go to patreon.com/dogoonpod. We put out 2 bonus episodes a month that no one else hears. You get to vote for the topics and change the history of and direction of the show. You can be in our Patreon Facebook group where people are constantly chatting about the show and even other stuff, which is very, very nice in there. And you get pre-sale tickets, like, for example, the UK and Irish tour. We actually told them on Monday. They've known for a couple of days.
Yeah, they've had time to process this.
And they're getting the tickets on Friday.
Yeah, it's something we talk to the patrons about everything first, usually, just to get
their talk to them about
thoughts.
How I'm feeling.
Yeah, we bounce off ideas.
Yeah.
Is it fondue for dinner tonight?
Jess writes a weekly newsletter.
Yeah, most weeks. Sometimes I forget.
The other shows we do out this week, Dave's done an episode about Romeo and Juliet.
That is right. I've got 2 fantastic guests from Sans Pants Radio that came out just yesterday. Joel Zammit, Cass Page came and chatted about Romeo and Juliet. It was the first one where the guests really knew quite a lot about the text because obviously such a famous story. But
sure.
That actually made it a lot of fun to talk about the pitfalls of...
You bite your thumb at me, sir?
Yes.
Was there jokes about that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great.
And pitfalls of marrying a 13-year-old.
And the Primates episode that comes out tomorrow also features Cass Page and Nick Mason from The Weekly Planet. And we talked about Batman, the Bold and the Brave, and an episode that featured so many DC apes, including Gorilla Grodd, Monsieur Marla, I think, who's like a rebel ape. And then there was Detective Chimp, who's like wears a deer hunter. What is it called? A
deer stalker?
Deer stalker hat.
Oh, yep.
And yeah, there were thousands of apes in this 22.
Thousands?
Yeah.
22.
All the apes in the world were sort of features in this episode.
Wow, it sounds right up your alley.
Yeah, it was kind of a fun. And Diedrich Bader plays Batman in this series.
Oh,
do you know, familiar with him?
No, it's remind a me.
Comedy actor. It's from like Drew Carey show, and
who are you playing, Drew Carey? Works.
One of the friends,
Oswald. Sort
of the dark haired friend.
Yeah. Cool. I actually never knew that guy's name. He's really funny.
Yeah, he's really funny. He's in heaps of stuff. So good. He makes me laugh a lot.
Very good.
So you can check those pods out just wherever you listen to this pod. I'm sure you'll be able to hear those.
Yes,
pods.
And there'll be links in the description. I pointed down quite literally there, which is funny, but only to me.
Comment below. That's what you were doing.
And Matt points to his genitals.
Comment on this.
Yeah, check it out. Well, that does bring us to the end of another episode. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another episode of...
Yes, live from Sydney.
Yeah, hell yeah. Woo! Hopefully you'll be able to join us live at the show, but if not, you'll be able to hear it this time next week. But until then, I'll say thank you and goodbye!
Later!
Bye!
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.